Okay, Masechet Ta'anit.
All three of the papers, everything.
The different families who took rotations in bringing wood to the Beit HaMikdash. And together, we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, with their wood offering, they would also bring a couple of korbanot that were brought on that day, that they became a festive day for them. So, Zman Atzeh Kohanim Veha'am. Excuse me.
Water here. Get out
for your
paper. This is a one-on-one
class for you today. Okay. Zman atzeh kohanim v'ha'am. The time for the wood for the kohanim and the nation to bring. Tisha. There were 9 times a year in which wood was replenished. There was a replenishment of wood in the Beit HaMikdash. Be'ehad bin Nisan, on the first day of Nisan, B'nei Arach bin Yehuda, was the family of Arach, son of Yehuda, and I guess all of their extended family as well. Be'esrim b'Tamuz, the 20th of Tamuz, B'nei David bin Yehuda. So you could see that from Nisan to Tamuz, so that's Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tamuz, it lasted about 3.5 months, the first time that they gave the wood in Nisan, it lasted about 3.5 months till the 20th of Tammuz. Bahamisha be'av, the next time after that, was on the 5th day of Av. So from the 20th of Tammuz to the 5th day of Av, there was only, right, Nisan, Yasivan, Tammuz, Av. It's only a few weeks, right? So it's a little strange. The third, you had three and a half months from Nisan to Tammuz when they didn't bring wood, and then they brought another set of wood 3 weeks later.
Now you got days.
Huh?
Next is days.
Yeah, then you have B'Shiv'abo, in the 7th of that month, B'nei Yonadab ben Rechav. B'Asarabo, on the 10th, B'nei Sena'a ben Binyamin. B'Hamisha Asarbo, B'nei Zatu ben Yehuda. And so you're having on the 5th of Av, the 7th of Av, the 10th of Av, the day following the Tish'a B'Av, on the 15th of Av, which we'll see is a very significant day later on, all of these days they had a full donation of wood being brought. So apparently, I guess that was like the time, the season maybe for cutting down trees and bringing it and really bolstering the storage house. So clearly that lasted for a very long time. So even though there was another time where they brought, that lasted for a very long time. Ve'imahem kohanim uleviim v'chol mi she'ta'a b'shivto. And amongst them, who brought together with these people other woods were kohanim and leviim, and anybody else who did not know what shevet he was from. Uvne gonve eli b'nei kotz'e kitzi'ot. And also you have the sons of gonve eli and the sons of kotz'e kitzi'ot. What is that talking about? And so you need a little bit of understanding here of what those two things are, b'nei gonve eli and b'nei kotz'e kitzi'ot. So I'll bring to you over here what Rabbeinu Ovadia Mibar Tenura says, based on the Gemara. And did you get this yet in Rabbi Nachum class? About who the b'nei gonve eli and the b'nei kotz'e kitzi'ot are. So he says, mefaresh b'gemara, the Gemara explains, she'pa'am ahad gazru ha'oivim shmad al Yisrael. Once the enemies decreed gezerot, restrictions against the Jews fulfilling mitzvot, what they call shmad, oppression. Shelo yaviu bikurim la bikurim or bikurim la mikdash, that they should not bring their first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash. Ve'ushivu shomrim bedrachim alkach. So for some reason, the goyim felt they wanted to attack the first fruits, the bringing of the first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash, and they put guards along the pathway to block any Jews who were coming to bring the bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash. Ve'amdu anashim kesherim shebeoto ador. And as always, anytime you try to oppress the Jews, there's always going to be some people who try to finagle their way and beat the gezerot. And so there were a few righteous people in that generation. Ve'hevi'u sale bikurim ve'hipu otam bekitziot. And they brought baskets of their first fruit to the Beit HaMikdash. Now, how did they get away with it? The guards were searching things. They placed on top of the basket of the first fruits, they put their kitziot. Kitziot are dried figs. Now, generally speaking, kitziot are not something that is brought as first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash. It's usually like a lower level kind of thing. It's not brought as the first fruits. Dehainu te'enim yevishim venosvim al kitvam eni. And they carried on their shoulders together with it an eli. Eli is an etz gadol, a large piece of wood. Asui ke'en buchna shekotchim bo adaisa. It was like a large piece of wood, you know, the mortar and pestle that you used to grind it. So they would have a large piece that would use to grind it. So they had this basket of fruit, and to hide it, to cover themselves, they would put dried figs on it, and they would also carry with them this large piece of wood, which was used for grinding. And this was not, and anybody who would see them would be thinking, oh, they're going to take the dried figs, they're going to mash them up to create what they used to have, a very famous food, a fig cake called an igule devela. When the people who were walking on the way, the guards would come to them and say, hey, what are you doing? אומרים להם אנו הולכים לעשות שני עיגולי דבלה במחדשת שלפנינו בעלי זה שעל כתפנו. They said, oh, we're going to just grind up these dried figs to make some fig cakes. Nothing suspicious happening over here. וכך היו מביאים ביקורים לירושלים. This is how they would get away with getting the first fruits into Yerushalayim, and then they would obviously bring them to the Beit HaMikdash, because the Oivim were sort of on the outside. ועל שם כך, for this reason, נקראו בני גונבי אלי. They were referred to as the sons of the stealers of the mortar. כלומר, גונב לב השומרים. They stole the heart of those guards. In other words, they tricked them. בעלי שעל כתפם, with the mortar that was on their shoulders. ובני קוצאי קציעות. They were also referred to as the dried fig guys. Right? Al shem shehodchim igule devela bimikzoot, because they would use it to cut, they would use the mikzoa, like the saw, to cut off the fig cakes. And so this was a nickname given to these people. It's a positive name given to these people who would not take the shmat for an answer. So I guess during the time of Hanukkah now, we're reading about other endeavors in Jewish history where people did not accept decrees made against them by the by the goyim. Ve'elu ha'anashim ha'ksherim, these righteous people, atzmam amdu pa'am aheret shegazru shmad shelo lehavi etzim lema'aracha. So these people themselves, there was also another time that the goyim told, we're not allowing any wood to be brought to the Beit HaMikdash. So they tried to cut off the wood supply, and by cutting off the wood supply, that would cause the korbanot to stop. And so there was another time that the goyim did that, and these same people did not take no for an answer. Again, ve'tiknu sulamot, והיו אומרים לשומרים ליטול שני גוזלות משובח זל שלפנינו בסולם זה שעל כתפינו אנו הולכים, והשם כך נראו בסלמי הניתוצתי. So the Gemara tells us that what did they do? They brought ladders made of wood to Yerushalayim, and they carried them, and they said, oh, we're going to use these ladders to go get these birds in the chicken coop or whatever it is, and then they would break them down and they would use them as wood. So they tricked them out of it. ועל שם כך נראה שהיו נוצים סולמות אחר שעברו מן השומרים ובאים מהסרחה וכל אלו מביאים עצים אבן עזתו. So these people who were, you know, these rebels who did not take the gezerot of the goyim they didn't accept it. They tried to find ways around it. They were rewarded with their own opportunity to bring things to the Beit HaMikdash because of how great they were to not accept the gezerot. And so they were given a time to do it together with the sons of Zatu ben Yehuda. They were given a time elsewhere to bring wood to the Beit HaMikdash. Uh-huh. Good?
Good.
Okay, a couple of stories. Be'esrim bo, on the 20th day of Av, b'nei pachat Moav ben Yehuda, be'esrim be'elul, on the 20th of Elul, so now Av Elul is the next month, a month later, b'nei Adin ben Yehuda, the sons of Adin, the son of Yehuda, be'ehad be'tevet, so Elul, Tishrei, Hashvan, Kislev, Tevet, like another 4 months almost, on the first of Tevet, shavu b'nei Parosh Sheniyah. The people of Parosh, who were already mentioned on the 5th of Av, they got a second opportunity to come. And as a result, Be'ehad Be'tevet lo haya bo ma'amad. So says the Mishnah, interesting fact, on the 1st of Tevet, they didn't have a ma'amad at all. Why didn't they have a ma'amad at all? No, because the ma'amad would get pushed for all the different reasons. Remember we said, if there's a day where there's halel, then there's no ma'amad in shaharit. If there's a day where there's Musaf, then there's no Ma'amad in Musaf and in Minha.
Right.
And if there's a day where there's Korban Etzim, then there's no Ma'amad in Minha and in Ne'ilah. So the first day of Tevet, you have all three. You have Halel, you have Musaf, and you have the Etzim, the Korban Etzim. So basically these three things, all in all, completely push off the Ma'amad from that day altogether.
Right.
So when you combine all of the three things that we said, they push off the Ma'amad completely. So that's the time frame of the bringing of the etzim to the Beit HaMikdash. Now, okay, so just a couple of things that we noticed is that sometimes we have longer layoffs I guess, of wood. And then other times, in more condensed time, they bring it. That could be due to availability, due to the time. It makes sense. The months of Av, Tammuz, and Elul are nicer weather outside. People are cutting down trees. They're outside doing work. Much harder to do that during the winter time, to ask them to bring. And the wood is maybe colder or wetter or something like that. So it makes sense that they gathered wood during those times, and then they would have a more off times once in a while that they would do it. But these are, most of the storage house of wood was built up during the months of Av and Elul. That's what, during those months. Tammuz, Av, and Elul. That's basically the summer months. And then we had one in Tibet, one in Nisan, and that was the end of that. Any questions on that?
No questions.
Okay. Do we want to try to do... Let's do one more Mishnah.
Okay.
Yeah, we have time?
Yeah.
Okay, so Mishnah Vav now is going to get us into some of the more practical things. We're going to start talking about the two major fast days that the rabbis instituted, which is Shiv'ah Asar B'Tammuz and Tish'ah B'Av. So the rabbis say, the Mishnah says as following in Mishnah 6. Chamisha devarim iru et avotenu b'shiv'ah asar b'tamuz v'chamisha b'tish'ah be'av. Five historical events happened to our forefathers in the 17th day of Tammuz, which are cause for fasting. And five events happened in the month of on the day of Tish'ah be'av that also cause fasting. B'shiv'ah asar b'tamuz, on the 17th day of Tammuz, nishtabiru haluhot. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luhot when he came down from Har Sinai. How do you figure that it's on the 17th of Tammuz? Well, Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the... Well, you don't have to go very far. This one's easy, right? Moshe Rabbeinu went up on the sixth day of Sivan to receive the Torah. 40 days later is Shiv'ah Asar B'Tammuz. He came down and he broke the luhot for Haita Egel. We have another two sets of 40-day periods in which Moshe Rabbeinu prays for Bnei Israel to be forgiven, and he receives the second set of Luhot. If you count another 80 days from the 17th of Tammuz, you land on the 10th day of Kippur, right? With a day or two in between, right? Basically, you're going to end up with the 10th day of Tishrei, which is Yom Kippur. So the first historical event that sort of kicks off Shiva Asar B'Tammuz as being a day of negativity towards the Jewish people is the breaking of the Luhot, the sin of Chet HaEgel. Ubatal HaTamid, on that same day, now the rest of them really have to do more with the Roman persecution in the second Beit HaMikdash. On that same day, the Romans were successful in ending the daily sacrifices that were being brought through their siege and prevention of any animals coming in. They essentially ended the Jewish people's ability to sacrifice any animals for the Korban. On that day, the walls of the city were broken through. There's a bit of an argument here. Was this on the first Beit HaMikdash or on both Beit HaMikdash? So some people say that the walls of the city were broken on the 17th of Tammuz only on the second Beit HaMikdash. The first Beit HaMikdash, it's recorded that on the 9th day of Tammuz, the wall was broken. And so some of the commentaries ask the question, how come we're commemorating the 17th of Tammuz for the second Beit HaMikdash and not the 9th of Tammuz for the first Beit HaMikdash? So others answer that we couldn't commemorate both. It'd be too difficult to have another fast day on the 9th day of Tammuz. And so the rabbis just decided 9th and 17th, we'll merge them both together to do it on the 17th, but you're also doing the 9th. Others answered that no, the second Beit HaMikdash is the harsher event because that galut, that exile, has lasted much longer than the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. So we commemorate mostly the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash as the harsher event than just the first Beit HaMikdash. Okay. Others, the Yerushalmi has another interesting answer. It says that because of the siege against the Jewish people, they actually lost track of what day it was. And so even though the Navi records that in the first Beit HaMikdash, they broke through the walls on the 9th day of Tammuz, the Navi is actually mistaken because they lost track of what day it was because they couldn't do the Kiddush HaChodesh and everything like that, and the siege was so difficult, there was no communication to anybody outside. They actually got the day wrong, and it really was the 17th of Tammuz, but they thought it was the 9th of Tammuz. So they wrote the 9th of Tammuz, but it really was the 17th. Any of these answers explain to us why we're commemorating the destruction of the wall, the breaking through of the wall, which is really the beginning of the end, on Shiv'ah Asar B'Tammuz. V'saraf Apostemos et HaTorah, a Roman general by the name of Apostemos, burned the Sefer Torah. He was the first to perform such an act, and he led gave way to many, many other people using that as a tactic to to hurt the Jewish people. Ve'he'emid selem ba'hechal. And some people read this as Apostemos himself, in addition to burning the Torah, also placed a tselem, also placed an image, a statue, inside of the hechal of the Beit HaMikdash, which is obviously a very egregious act for the Jewish people. Others say that this was not Apostemos, that it was done at a separate time. V'hu amad tselem b'hechal, it was at a different time. And some people actually refer this to the idol that Menashe, a Jewish king, but an evil Jewish king, put himself in the Beit HaMikdash. So five different things that occurred on Shiva Esrei Tammuz, beginning with the destruction of the Luchot, the rest having to do with the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, and some of it even the first Beit HaMikdash as well. To conclude this Mishnah, now it mentions the five things that happened on Tish'a B'Av. B'Tish'a B'Av nigzar al avotenu shelo yikansu la'aretz. On the 9th of Av, it was decreed against our forefathers that they should not enter the land of Eretz Yisrael when they were in the desert, because of the sin of Haita Meraglim, because of the actions of the spies and Jewish peoples buying in to their reports against the land of Eretz Yisrael. V'harav habayit barishona u'bashaniya, and the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed on the 9th of Av, both on the first and on the second times. V'nilkeda Betar, and the city of the fortress of Betar was destroyed and captured by the Romans. This was post Beit HaMikdash. This is in the time of Rabbi Akiva. There was a revolt, what they call the Great Revolt, against the Romans. After the Romans destroyed the Beit HaMikdash in the year 68 CE, or some people say 70, but around that time, about 70 years later, more like 65 years later, the Jews were still under Roman rule, and a man by the name of Bar Kokhba, who they thought was the Mashiach, many of the rabbis in that generation bought into him, most famously to be Akiva. They believed that this was the time, just like the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed for 70 years and they rebuilt it, the second Beit HaMikdash would be destroyed for 70 years and they're going to rebuild it, and they thought this is the revolt that's going to win themselves over against the Romans. And the Jews were massacred at Betar. They had their last stand in fortress in Betar, and hundreds of thousands of Jews were murdered in the city of Betar, and they were left there to rot. Their corpses were not buried until a miracle was performed to them, and they were able to come back later and to bury them. But they said Betar was one of the more devastating experiences, and it occurred again on Tish'a B'Av. V'nihresha ha'ir, Turnus Rufus plowed the city of Yerushalayim over after the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. As a result of these five actions, all having to do with the Romans destroying, well, the first one having to do with the Jews' sin of Cheta Meraglim, and then the other four having to do with the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and Roman persecution, the Mishnah ends off by saying, Mishinichnas Av Mema'atim Besimha. When the month of Av enters, we limit our happiness and our joy. We don't go to court, we don't build wedding halls, we don't conduct weddings, and many of the other customs that we have to do, which are mentioned in the Gemara, because of the evil things that had happened at this time. So that concludes this Mishnah. The next couple of Mishnayot are going to talk more about the next Mishnah is going to talk a little bit more about the halachot of Tish'a B'Av, and then the final Mishnah is actually going to end on a positive note, talking about the day of Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, which was a very happy day for the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. So two more Mishnayot. I have a feeling we'll be able to finish the Masechet hopefully tomorrow.
That's it.
Last two Mishnayot, and then we're done with the Masechet. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. Ve'amen.
Look at us.